In the name of God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We are so glad that you are here. We, meaning my family, who's gathered in like the first 9 or 10 rows here. And thanks to all of my Calvary family for supporting us. And thanks to Todd and Ross and Abby for their memories of Mom. I certainly enjoyed hearing everything that I was planning to say. Already, it is the same person we're talking about, so I guess it's going to be fairly similar. Beth certainly had and enjoyed a long and, as she would say, wonder-filled life. And she touched a lot of people in a lot of different ways along her path. And I was a witness to a large part of that, having 70 years worth of watching her walk. Which is why I think my biggest difficulty this afternoon was trying to figure out where to start, which season of her life to highlight. Plus, I found that I kept getting off tasks. All of those photo books that they talked about, we went through. She had lots and lots and lots of photo albums. None of the pictures were any good at all because she never could manage to buy a camera that she could be in sync with. But they were there and she knew what they were. And they were fuzzy but legible. You could tell what most of it was. And anyway, so I kept journeying down memory lane and losing my focus. I was having such a great time reminiscing, but I wasn't having a very productive time in preparing my homily. But Mother obviously anticipated that problem, so she left me lots of suggestions about every detail, as Todd said, including what she thought I needed to say about her. Beginning, of course, with her auto obituary. It's on the back of the bulletin, a very short summary of a very long life in her own words. And you know that really is a word, auto obituary. I Googled it just to be sure and found out, not surprisingly at all, that my mother once again was unknowingly in the leading edge of a trend. Because it seems that more and more people are now writing their own obituaries. Now, I don't know what the motives of all those others are, but I can certainly guess why my mom did it. And it wasn't because she didn't trust us to do it properly. It was because she enjoyed writing so much. She especially if she could write about her adventures. And she enjoyed it much too much to pass up one last opportunity to do it again. And that's one of the things that we all remember and you've heard said about Mom, how much she loved words. She loved to use them. Big, multi-syllable, flamboyant, ostentatious words were her favorites. She used to tell me back in my growing up days that when she was my age, she would just read the dictionary for fun. And of course, woe to one of her kids if we ever asked her how to spell something. Go look it up, she would always say. If I tell you, you'll forget it as soon as you write it down. Look it up for yourself and you'll always remember it. That might have been true for her. Never was that true for me. If I had just known then what I know now, if I'd just known then, I could have said, come on, Mom, 50 years from now, somebody's going to get very rich inventing a device called Alexa, and it will tell me how to spell every single word I ask it to spell. She wouldn't have believed me. I'm sure she would have just used her smart aleck word for me and pointed to the dictionary. Anyway, Mom loved words and she loved to write. She wrote, as you heard, lengthy descriptions of her trips and accompanied many of her photo albums, or they became her Christmas letters. And while her writing to us was never frequent, when those letters came, they were always long and eloquent. And of course, the envelopes were stuffed with all sorts of clippings of things that she was sure would be of interest to us. However, for the last decade or more, I guess, crossword puzzles sort of took the place of letter writing, and she had the pleasure of using her vast vocabulary still, but just in a different way. I learned from her that words are important. What we say, how we say it, can be very constructive and relational, or they can be harmful and damage relationships. Words are important. In Matthew, Jesus said, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles the body. It is the words that come out of your mouth that defile you. Words are important. And Mom loved words. And she loved to use them the correct way. She was fond of many other things too. You've heard most of them. My favorites were turquoise jewelry, purple clothes, the Texas Longhorns, the Houston Astros, drank a gallon of flavored coffee, yucky flavored coffee every day. And of course, you know, she loved to travel, especially by camper, especially to national parks. I think she visited all of them. Didn't she say that? I lost count a long time ago, but she never lost count. As Abby said, she could still tell you every detail of every park she ever went to. Experiencing the beauty of creation was her most favorite way to experience God. One of the hints that she left for me to use in my sermon was her Christmas letter from 1994 about her trip up through the Rocky Mountains that year. In it, she described how she often feels closer to God while experiencing His creation than she does in buildings. I read that as churches that are constructed by man. She wrote, "We looked back into creation when we saw the cliff of fossilized bones at Dinosaur National Monument in Utah. But most moving of all," she said, "was walking in the Cathedral of Coastal Redwoods, ancient and majestic. It is in such places as these that I experience an awe and reverence that eludes me in any man-made structure." A wonderful inscription I copied from a plaque at one scenic vista is credited to a Native American, Gray Owl. He said, "We need an enrichment other than material prosperity. And to gain it, we have only to look around at what our country has to offer." Then she added, "I feel so blessed to be among the lookers. I feel so blessed to be among the lookers, blessed to be among the observers of what God has wrought." That one sentence says everything about my mother. Her theology, her outlook on life, her incredible ability to find joy in the simplest things in life. Her essence, her very nature comes from that sense of being blessed by God. Being blessed by a large and loving family and blessed by the ability to travel and be among the lookers, the observers of those spectacular and unique creations of God. From the smallest butterfly to the grandest mountain, Mom found peace, happiness, and joy in her life. And she did her best to share what she found with all of us. And I imagine that she still is. I can see her now. I can see her now up there in heaven, cup of coffee in one hand, crossword puzzle beside her, pointing out to all the angels, all the places that she's been to, and wishing that all of us down here would just slow down, breathe more deeply, and appreciate and savor each other and our blessings from God. You know, it's trite but true. The people that I see and meet who enjoy and appreciate the simple things in life are the ones that are the happiest and who have a full sense of God's blessings. We innately know that, I'm sure. I think we all imagine ways that we think we might make our lives more simple. It's hard to do. Mom did it. And the fact is that God doesn't promise to give us happiness in this life. That's not part of the deal. But God always blesses us, and then it's up to us to take those blessings and make our own happiness. And I think Mom found that secret. And she found it in a big way. She found it in nature and she found it in her family. She was incredibly proud of all of us, especially her sons. We found picture after picture of the five of us posing for a camera. My favorite is the one in which we're all wearing our white sport coats for Easter Sunday, standing outside our house before we left for church. But I can still remember the sympathetic look she would get from other women when she was out with the five of us. Inevitably, someone would, always ask, "You mean you have five boys and no girls?" And then they'd shake their heads and look at us like it was our fault. One time I heard one of her friends ask her if she'd known in advance that we would all be boys, would she do it all over again? "Oh, yes," she said, "I'd gladly have five sons again, just not the same ones." We knew she was joking. Every one of her boys, every one of our spouses, the daughter she said she always wanted, every one of our children and grandchildren all got a gift or a card every birthday, every Christmas. And there were even a few times on Mother's Day when instead of waiting for us to call her, she would call each of her boys, call us to thank us for being good sons. Mom loved her family. And Mom loved to give advice to her family. No matter how old her boys got, she was still our mother. Speaking of which, I'll tell a short story. I graduated from seminary when I was 53 years old. Seminary graduations are actually very long church services with a few graduation exercises stuck in the middle of them. Mine was at Good Shepherd Church in Austin, Texas. The place was crammed. People were standing outside looking through doors full of pomp and circumstance and everything Episcopal. Absolutely marvelous occasion. But my lasting memory of that event was that after I received my diploma and shook hands with the dean of the school and the bishop of Texas, I turned to go back to my seat, and there was my mom in the middle of the aisle with that stupid Panasonic camera of hers that never took a decent picture, making me stop and smile so she could add it to that vault of photos. And I remember thinking, "Mom, I'm too old for this." Followed immediately by a sigh of thanksgiving that my mother would always be my mother. A few years ago, Pope Francis said this about the nature of Christianity. He said, "A person without joy cannot be a true believer." Because, he continued, "it is not cold doctrine that gives joy, but rather faith and hope to meet Jesus." The Pope continued, "It's a sad believer who cannot rejoice." Mom found so much joy in so many things and shared her joy the best she could with as many as she could. Elizabeth Benson Wainer fit the Pope's criteria for true believer. So now we turn her over to God. And even as we do, I am secure in the knowledge that she will continue to be my mother, that she'll continue to live on in me and in my family. I'm sure that I will also continue to hear her advice being whispered in my ear, and that I will continue to try to please her. We are thankful for her long and loving presence among us, for the blessing that we had of loving her and knowing that she loved us. But most of all today, we're thankful for the loving and faithful presence of Jesus Christ in our lives, through whose life and death and resurrection we all get to claim eternal life. We get to claim that hope of seeing our loved ones once again. Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you?" It's a promise that we're all given as Christians. A promise that Beth has now realized. Now she's forever in a marvelous place where there's no disease, no pain. A place where love and grace and peace and the beauty of nature, I'm sure, abound. Thanks be to God. Amen.